Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Tam Shri Mat Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vande Jagat Gurum Yasyanukam Payashvapi Mahapritam Taretsukam Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So today we are reading from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila chapter 19, a very important chapter, entitled Rupa Shiksha, or Instructions Given to Srila Rupa Goswami by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are in the middle of a most important section regarding the process of devotional service, particularly the metaphor of the Bhakti Lata creeper, the plant of Bhakti, the plant of devotion. And we will read text 160, and also 161 is very short and it's very relevant, so we will read both. Se kajala panya upa shakka bariyaya. Stabda hanya mula shakka barite napaya. Abdahanya mula chaka marite napaya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sekajala, sprinkling water. Panya, getting. Upashaka, the unwanted creepers. Variyaya, grow. Luxuriantly, sorry. Stabdahanya, becoming a stop. Mulashaka, the chief creeper. Bharite, to increase. Napaya, is not able. If one does not distinguish between the Bhakti Lata creeper and the other creepers, the sprinkling of water is misused because the other creepers are nourished while the Bhakti Lata creeper is curtailed. Srila Prabhupada's purport, if one chants the Hare Krishna mantra while committing offenses, these unwanted creepers will grow. One should not take advantage of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for some material profit. As mentioned in verse 159, Nishiddha achara kutinati jiva himsana labha puja pratishtadi yata upashakka gana. The unwanted creepers have been described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He states that if one hears and chants without trying to give up offenses, one becomes materially attached to sense gratification. This may be a cause why sometimes we feel material desires, because we commit offenses while chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and therefore material taste becomes bigger. The offenses prevent us from experiencing the higher taste, and then the result is that we go for the lower taste. If a person is very hungry, today is the Sunday and we have a Sunday feast, and here in Radhavesh the Sunday feast is quite tasty, isn't it? It's quite tasty and with many different preparations. And those of us who are getting older, we have to be careful not to take too much, because otherwise we cannot digest properly. The younger generation, they can, not only the small, but some younger also, 20s, you can eat still some too obviously. But imagine, God forbid, imagine that you come, when you come to take the Sunday feast, it's a little late, and there is only rice and soup left. What will you do? Go to the restaurant and eat pizza. But imagine you cannot go to the restaurant because it's packed. There are so many guests. So you have only rice and dal left. What do you do? I'm a grihasta, I go home and cook pakoras and samosas. Curse the cook. But not like applying the Vaishnava principles that we are not, Vaishnavas do not curse. Vaishnavas bless and accept whatever it comes at Krishna's mercy. What will you do? Eat the rice and dal. You are hungry. There is nothing else left. So take the rice and dal. We will prefer to take the variety of tasters, but there is no, and then we take rice and dal. Of course, the comparison is not completely appropriate, because rice and dal prasad and samosa prasad are both transcendentally fulfilling. So in that sense, it's not completely appropriate. But if we look at the taste of the tongue, what we like to eat, we are taking what we don't like that much because we have it available. It's very common. We prefer to take the variety of tasters. So this can be compared to the higher taste of devotional service. We experience a great variety of tasters by chanting Hare Krishna, by practicing the process of bhakti yoga. Please, gentlemen, if you like to sit also, there are chairs, you can make yourself comfortable. You are most welcome. The gentleman also can come in if he likes and sit wherever he feels comfortable. So the variety of we prefer the higher taste. But when we don't experience the higher taste, we don't have it available, we go for the common lower taste. So we chant Hare Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna properly, and we're going to discuss about what Srila Prabhupada, what the Vaishnavacharyas tell us that it is proper chanting. So when we chant Hare Krishna properly, we experience a higher taste. But when we chant Hare Krishna, here Srila Prabhupada mentions, with offenses. Offenses doesn't mean that Krishna becomes offended, because Krishna, he has too much joy to experience to be paying attention to our petty little offenses. Although he's very kind and he reveals himself in so many wonderful ways, and in another sense he is, he's always very eager to see us coming closer to him. He's full of love, always eager that we come to him. But he doesn't take into account the offenses. But offenses means our own separatist attitude or way of chanting that will prevent us from experiencing Krishna, or will make that Krishna does not reveal himself, because anyway, if he reveals, we don't pay attention to him. So he doesn't like to waste time. Why he's going to reveal if we do not pay attention? Doesn't make sense. So he doesn't do it. So, and therefore, when these things happen, we don't experience the higher taste. And then what do? We go for the lower taste. What is the lower taste? Ahara, Nidra, Vaya, Maitunam, Cha. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. These are the common basic activities, which of course every living being should perform. That's not to say that we do not eat, we do not sleep, we do not have children for the grihastas, for the families, or that we do not defend ourselves when there is a need for it. That's not to say that we don't do that. According to our level of realization, we should perform these activities in the service of the Lord. But this taste is very common, and we should not focus our life on these lower experiences, but rather focus on serving the Lord and experiencing our real joy, the joy of the soul, the joy of the self in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada continues, one may also desire freedom from material bondage like the Mayavadis, or one may become attached to the yoga siddhis and desire wonderful yogic powers. So these are different types of material desires or anarthas. Anarthas, in the analogy given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Rupa Goswami, it is compared to the unwanted creepers. The analogy is that we receive the seed of bhakti, the seed of divine love from the spiritual master, and then we plant it. We plant it and we start irrigating it, watering it, by pouring the water off what water is. Hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam. Hearing and chanting about the divine name, form, qualities, pastimes of the Supreme Lord. We hear and chant, and in this way we're watering the creeper, the spiritual creeper, which is meant to take us back to the spiritual world, back to the realm of immortality, the realm of divine joy in divine service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the creeper starts growing, but something that happens practically in every case is that other creepers grow next to the original creeper. I don't know if you have any time experience that someone is worshipping Tulasi Devi, who is not actually Tulasi Devi. Did you ever have such an experience? In some temples these things happen. The devotees didn't pay enough careful attention, and they took an unwanted creeper or another plant to be Tulasi Devi. And they were worshipping it as a divine plant. Of course, Srimati Tulasi Devi, she is very, very merciful and may take the devotional attitude of the person, but still it is questionable. What are we doing? What are we doing? We do not worship any ordinary person as the Supreme Lord or as a transcendental personality. So similarly, when we water the plant of devotion through the process of hearing and chanting, what happens is that other unwanted creepers grow. And how many there are? Who remembers or who can guess how many unwanted creepers there are? How many? It was described in previous weeks. So those of you who were here may have heard it. Yes, unlimited. Unlimited means the word used is asankhya. Asankhya. You cannot count them. Sankhya means to count. And the philosophers, we use Sankhya philosophy in the service of the Lord also, but Sankhya philosophy without bhakti, Sankhya philosophy separated from the process of divine service, it is useless. Because we cannot count how many anarthas we have. And the anarthas can be classified in many different ways. And here in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and actually Srila Prabhupada refers to the previous verse from last week, classifies them into six groups. Yata Upashaka Gana, six groups. Nisiddha Chara Kutinati Chiva Himsana Labha Puja Pratishtadi. Let us see if you can remember what is the meaning of those anarthas. And then we will continue reading and commenting. Nisiddha Chara. What's Nisiddha Chara? If you know a little bit of the Sanskrit, Bengali, you can be able to make a... Yes, behavior unbefitting to a Vaishnava. Nisiddha. Siddha means perfection. Achara means behavior. Nisiddha, not the proper behavior. The behavior which is not proper for someone who is on the path of perfection, siddha. And this is devotional service to the Lord. So it means that after some time, we may become like King Solomon in the Bible, who became lax in his old age, and he got entangled into sense gratification, according to some of the Christian theologians. So we never should take it for granted. Such a behavior may creep in at any time. There is no limits of age when Maya can creep in different ways. It doesn't necessarily have to be too gross, but it can be in a way which is not gross, but it's Maya. It's a material attachment. So we should be very careful. Nisiddhachara, of course in this case Nisiddhachara is gross behavior, very, very specific gross behavior, such as breaking regulative principles, for example, which are described as the foundational anarthas for us people in the age of Kali, especially those of us, for everyone actually. It doesn't make so much difference now if you are born in India or in the West. Then Kutinati. What is Kutinati? Kutinati, fault finding, sometimes is translated as fault finding. Hypocrisy. Kutinati means duplicity. It means I am with someone, Prabhu, Haribo, and then in the back I start speaking, criticizing, fault-finding into other persons. Can be Vaishnavas or even non-Vaishnavas, and necessarily fault-finding in people, you know, other persons. Duplicity may mean lack of integrity in our aligning mind, words, and body. So this is also one of the anarthas we may experience. And of course, there are many different little varieties for each one of them. These are groups. Jiva Himsa. Violence against other living entities, other living beings. And this may mean directly killing animals or participating in killing animals in some way, or may mean a stop to distribute Krishna consciousness, to share what the gift we receive in devotional service, is stop to share them with other people. It's so when we get a gift, we should share it with others. This is the most safe position. We should be generous and share. And the nature of the spiritual gifts is that the more we share, the more we get. We shouldn't just do it for that, but that's the natural development of things. That the more we give, the more we receive. And then the more we have to give others. So stop to give to others what we receive, especially spiritual gifts. That's actually jiva himsa, violence. Someone is, like for example, if someone is drowning, and I know how to swim and how to rescue that person, I'm chanting japa. I see someone is drowning. I know how to swim, how to rescue the person. But then I say, I'm chanting, I'm praying to God. That's something superior. Why do I need to take care of someone else's body? What do you think if I do that? I know you don't want to criticize, but you will say, this is a crazy monk, isn't it? Won't you? That's a crazy monk. You see, someone is, that's for the body. I have the opportunity to save someone, and I don't do it. What to speak of the soul? So that, therefore, it is described as violence. Gundars? I will have to go to that section and look into it in order to properly comment. Of course, when acharyas say something, and that's very different to even to give a glass of water, and that's one thing. Someone is dying, is drowning. It's a big difference in terms of amount of need of the person who is suffering or who is in need. Still, sometimes in different pastimes, different aspects are emphasized. In this case, the emphasis, what you are quoting, is that in order to live in Goloka Vrindavan or even in Bauma Vrindavan for a long time, we need to become so absorbed in devotional service that we don't notice the externals. But one thing is to not notice, be so absorbed in divine rapture that one doesn't notice anything and therefore doesn't do it. In that case, the person is not guilty of not doing because he or she is so absorbed that didn't perceive it. He's elsewhere. But it's very different when one notices and pretends not to notice. That's a very different. That will be kutinati, that will be duplicity, and therefore jiva himsa also will take place. Because we notice, but we're pretending we don't notice. That we should be careful with that. Then, labha. What it means, labha? Lapa. Profit, we want money, we want to get wealth. Lapa may mean money, power in the form of money. Sometimes it's very subtle. It can be even in devotional service. We should be careful that our motivation is not, I do it to be more than such and such. In one of the interviews to one ex-sanyasi for my research, he was very frank, very blunt. The interviews are anonymous. And he said, when I asked him what motivated you to take sannyas, he said, power, wealth. He had it, such and such had it, I want it also. So this may happen at many different levels. So we should be very careful in always in what do we do in terms of accumulating wealth, accumulating temples, accumulating power in the name of service. It's very subtle. We cannot judge others many times. We may make a mistake. But it's what is the motivation within the heart of a person? Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave warnings so that we are careful. We should be careful. Pratishta. There is actually puja and pratishta, very similar, very much related. Puja and pratishta, what is that? Puja is desire for worship or for fame, popularity. Pratishta, position. Pratishta means a place to stay. I need my place. So we may do things in the name of devotional service to have a position, a comfortable position, or to have a good reputation, and to enjoy in our mind such false happiness, the false happiness that I am such and such, when I'm going to die very soon. We enjoy positions, but what's the point? We're going to die very soon. We have a position for a very short time. How long it will last? But still the material mind is so illusion that will tell us that it's very good to enjoy such a position. So there are unlimited anarthas, and especially the anarthas manifest from the offenses. The aparadas, particularly the offenses to chant the holy name of the Lord, increase the anarthas. Or we can say that the anarthas most difficult to eradicate are those arising from offenses to the chanting and the hearing of the holy name of the Lord. And this is what Srila Prabhupada is describing here. What may happen? If this happens, we chant with low quality, with poor quality, or with poor quantity. Both are very important. Quantity and quality. Both are interdependent. And it is false to try to sacrifice one for the other. That's a false logic. If you say, okay, I chant less because I want to chant better. That's like saying, I am practicing in the Olympics, I'm a sportsman, I'm training myself, so I will train myself less because I want to win more medals. I want to do better. Therefore, I will do less training. Does that make sense? That's a false logic. With that logic, we will stop chanting. So both are interdependent. We need to pay attention to both, quantity and quality. And the quantity fits the quality. The more quantity fits the quality, and the quality will fit the quantity. But we should be careful. There are warnings also separately from these two aspects. If we chant a lot of quantity, but without paying attention to purify the offenses, to correct the offenses, to correct the inattention, which is the main offense, to lack of respect, of attention, of devotion in chanting, then what will happen is that we will not advance. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, not even in millions of lifetimes. We may be millions of lifetimes chanting quantity without quality, and we will not attain the desired success. We will not even desire such a spiritual success. And generally, we will stop chanting. But even if not, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur will call that this counting game. Counting, chanting. And then counting. Just concern of the numbers. How much did I do? Like if I'm doing sports, lifting weights, the person who lifts, I lift 25 times lift the weight. And then I'm very proud, I lifted 25 times. I chanted 25 rounds. I'm very proud of it. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls that chanting game. We should avoid the chanting game. But that's not to say that we shouldn't chant the 25 rounds, but we should not focus on the quantity without the quality. And then also the quality, we shouldn't just try to do one mantra with big quality and then don't do more. If we chant one mantra with quality, then we will not be able to stop chanting. We will want to chant more mantras. Therefore, the logic of stopping diminishing quantity due to quality, to focusing on quality, it's not good. Does that make sense? Is that, yeah? So Srila Prabhupada writes, one may also desire freedom from material bondage like the Maya bodies, freedom from suffering. Or one may become attached to the yoga siddhis and desire wonderful yogic powers. If one is attached to wonderful material activities, one is called siddhi lobby, greedy for material perfection. One may also be victimized by diplomatic or crooked behavior, or one may associate with women for illicit sex, for women will be men. Others may make a show. Okay, no, modern days you have to be careful with that. But anyway, you know what I mean. Others may make a show of devotional service, like the Prakriti Sahajyas, or one may try to support his philosophy by joining some caste or identifying himself with a certain dynasty, claiming a monopoly on spiritual advancement. His Holiness Jayadvita Maharaj gave a seminar some years ago here in Radhadesh entitled ISKCON Lost Its Monopoly. Remember that? Some of you attended that or listened to some of the lectures. So basically he was saying, he said many things, but one of the points was that if we don't do the seva properly for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, someone else will do it. And the seva to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is not exclusive of the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Also other Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they are entitled to do such seva. So we shouldn't think we have a monopoly and no one else. Otherwise we may commit Vaishnava Parada and then this will be a detrimental for our service. Thus, with the support of family tradition, one may become a pseudo-guru or so-called spiritual master, who may become attached to the four sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating, or one may consider a Vaishnava to belong to a mundane caste or creed. One may think this is a Hindu Vaishnava and this is a European Vaishnava. A European Vaishnava is not allowed to enter the temples. In other words, one may consider Vaishnavas in terms of birth, thinking one a Brahmana Vaishnava, a Shudra Vaishnava, a Mlecha Vaishnava, and so on. So we may commit offenses on the name of Varna Ashram Dharma. We may offend other Vaishnavas. In India, it's very typical. You are a sannyasi, you are there, it's packed, and someone will come and push everyone away to open the place to a sannyasi. And many times done in a very disrespectful way. I don't say sometimes ethics should be followed and this, that, but you are pushing away. You don't know who are the Vaishnavas who are there. They can be Mahabhagavats. You are pushing them to open the place. So, I mean, we should be careful how, in order to honor a Vaishnava, I don't say do not honor senior Vaishnavas. In order to honor a Vaishnava, we step on other Vaishnavas. We should be careful with that, to do it properly when we honor. One may also try to carry out a professional business while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra or reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Or one may try to increase his monetary strength by illegal means, cheating the government, and this is improper, this is anartha. One may also try to be a cheap Vaishnava by chanting in a secluded place for material adoration. Or one may desire mundane reputation by making compromises with non-devotees, compromising one's philosophy or spiritual life, or one may become a supporter of a hereditary caste system. All these are pitfalls of personal sense gratification. Just to cheat some innocent people, one makes a show of advanced spiritual life and becomes known as a sadhu, mahatma, or religious person. All this means that the so-called devotee has become victimized by all these unwanted creepers, and that the real creeper of Bhakti Lata Beach has been stunted. And then in the next verse, I will read this, and then we will have 5 minutes comments or questions, and we'll end. The next verse is a short purport, verse and purport. Kaviraj Goswami says, as soon as an intelligent devotee sees an unwanted creeper growing beside the original creeper, he must cut it down instantly. Then the real creeper of Bhakti Lata Beach grows nicely, returns home back to Godhead, and seeks shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna. So as soon as we see the unwanted creeper, what we should do? Cut it down instantly. How do we do that? What does that mean? Taking shelter of the Vaishnavas and asking for help, good? Good? If there is, if I'm doing something wrong, some bad behavior, stop doing it. So in other words, seek for a solution. If I can't stop it, I stop it. If I cannot stop it, I seek for help from others who can guide me how to find a solution. I cannot find a solution by myself. So then let me find someone who will help me. Also, we can pray to the Lord, to pure devotees. Any other? Chant incessantly, so increase the chanting. We are committing offenses against the chanting. Chant more. Sometimes you can say, I chant constantly and then I feel even worse sometimes. It didn't happen to you that sometimes? You try to chant a lot and you feel you're pushing against the wall. It's too artificial, you see, it's not possible to chant that much. Because still there is offense there. The solution is given in the Puranas, to chant incessantly. So, but in any case, chant more, increase the chanting. Do something more that usually you are not doing. And Prabhupada writes, if one is misled by unwanted creepers and is victimized, he cannot make progress back to Godhead. Rather, he remains within the material world and engages in activities having nothing to do with pure devotional service. Such a person may be elevated to the higher planetary systems, but because he remains within the material world, he is subjected to the threefold material miseries. So we cannot cut all the anarthas, because we cannot see them all. But we can cut those anarthas that the Lord shows us. And if we cannot do it by ourselves, then we ask for help from the devotees and from the Lord. And in this way we can make progress. So these are some of the aspects of the Rupa Shiksha explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that we can improve our hearing and chanting, which are the most secure processes for spiritual perfection when they are performed without offenses in the association and service of the devotees of the Lord. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you'd like to ask questions or make comments, good point, yes, good point. We should uproot. How do we uproot? Sometimes these weeds are very, very tricky. You think you uprooted and then some seed fell again and it grows again. So it is not that easy to uproot. But yes, we should go as deep as possible and to cut it down. Anyone remembers any of the Bhakti Shastris or any studious devotees? Remember any of the verses about uprooting through chanting, particularly? There is a very important verse about uprooting, about chanting. I will give you more indications if you are not able to ascertain it. It's from the Bhakti Shastri books. Uprooting through what we explained today. Quality and quantity of chanting. Don't be shy, say. That's the Radha Mulahanti, yeah. Yes, you want to say up, speak up. Say the translation, if you don't remember the Sanskrit, say the translation. Siyat Krishna nama charitadi sitapya vidya, pito patapta rasanasya narochikanu, Kintu adarattanudinam kalusai bajushta svadvikramat bhavati tat gadamula hantri. It's not, you will say, oh, but this verse is not on the key memory verse, you are cheating. It's true. It's not in the list of the Bhakti Shastri, but at least the meaning you may remember, the meaning of the verse. And the meaning is, as Prabhuji was saying, Jamasami Prabhu, that the meaning is that the holy name of the Lord is transcendentally sweet, like sugar candy, pure sugar. But due to the jaundice of avidya, of ignorance, we cannot experience the taste, the spiritual taste. And therefore, when we chant, sometimes or many times, we feel dryness. And we're eager to finish, to go to do something more interesting. Let's have some action. Even for the service of the Lord, I want to go to the office, I want to do something practical. I want to engage my body, because otherwise I get nervous. So the mind is very strong, very intense. So we cannot experience the sweetness of the holy name. But Srila Rupa Goswami says, what wonderful it is that simply by Adarat Anudinam, attentively, carefully, Anudinam, daily, chanting these sweet names, Tat Gada Mula Hantri, the material illness, avidya, is uprooted. So this is the process to uproot the anarthas. Through more chanting, constant chanting, more purification will come, and we will be able to distinguish what is the plant, what is bhakti, what is unwanted creepers. And then when we see, it's easier to uproot. If we do not see, how we are going to uproot? Any other comments or questions? When we are, you said, gross in behavior? Rough. Yeah, when we are rough, we may offend other people. We should be careful. I mean, we should be ourselves. You cannot, you have someone who is very, very Kshatriya type of person, and you want them to be caressing people, so maybe not his nature. But still, there should be respect. If someone's Kshatriya type, but should be noble, not Kshatriya type stepping on people's toes and heads. So depending, according to our character, we express ourselves, but always we should be careful not to offend others. Well, I mean, sometimes we notice, when we pay attention, sometimes we notice when someone is disturbed about our behavior. If you pay attention, you see, this fellow is disturbed about what I'm doing. And if you are not sure, you ask. I'm sorry, I don't know if there is something I'm doing, I'm bothering you. You ask feedback to other people. Especially with thoughts we are working with, we should pay attention in the exchanges and keep the communication, keep the flow of communication, Vaishnava communication. Sometimes it's good to speak up. It's better to speak up in a respectful manner than to then commit offense for not speaking up. Sometimes we don't speak up, we keep it in, and it builds, and then we do any crazy thing. Take the person, go and do it. Yes, like the get physical. What's the point? First talk about it. Not that they keep it, and then kill someone. What's this? Doesn't make sense. Isn't it? Some people sometimes do that in life. In life. And in devotees, as it's not common, but sometimes there have been physical attack. In some cases, you can say the fellow is crazy, but in some cases, it's just because of not dealing properly with what's going on, losing touch with what's happening. So we should pay attention to that. Introspection is very important. Any other points? To pure bhakti, kevala bhakti. Kechit kevalaya bhaktiya vasudeva parayana agam dunvanti karsniena Nikharami Babashkara. As the sun dissipates the fog in the morning, we see this here sometimes in the summer, especially the winter you don't see so much, but during the summer season you can see sometimes fog and the sun dissipating it. In Mayapur you see it very often. As the sun dissipates the fog, similarly, pure bhakti uproots all the sins, all the sinful reactions accumulated for many lifetimes. Otherwise, without pure bhakti, we cannot do it. Therefore, we need to improve our practice. That's the message given in this section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.